We're holding on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. We were a couple of lines past the Mishnah, but I guess we may as well start from the beginning of the Gemara. Tanan Hasam, we learned in the Mishnah in Sefer Taras, Hamitzeh, when you have a column of liquid poured from one container to another, or one body of liquid to another, Vakatafras, or liquid flowing down a slope, Mashka Tefeach, or you have between one body of liquid and another, you have in the middle an area which is tefeach, which is wet, which is moist, but not amanas lapiach, not wet enough that you could transfer the wetness to something else. That's not considered connected as far as tumah or as far as tara. So for example, if you have, let's say, a tumah person touches one of those bodies of water, the other one that's connected to it through nitzik or katafras or what have you does not become tumah. So even though they're physically connected, they're not considered connected lahalacha, and they're also not connected as far as tara. So that, for example, if you have two such bodies of water in the ground, neither of which amounts to 40 sah, and they're connected by nitzik or katafras or mashka tefeach, they don't count together as one big mikvah of 40 sah. However, the Mishnah continues. When you have an area where water has where liquid has collected in one place, and Rashi says specifically Ashboden, related probably to the word shavar, breaking, is a place where you have like broken earth, like you have when the earth is dry in the dry season or it's salty or whatever, so it cracks open and water collects in the cracks there. That is chibur l'tumah or l'tara. There you have it considered connected as far as tumah and as far as tara. So that's as far as tumah v'tara. Amar Rav Huna nitzik v'katafras mashka tefeach chibulin yain nesach. On the other hand, Rav Huna says nitzik and katafras and mashka tefeach, these three kinds of things, they are considered connected as far as yain nesach. So that if a goy were to touch one part of it and the other is connected through nitzik or whatever, or relating more to our mishnah, as we'll see, you're pouring from one container into another where the lower container contains yain nesach, then it's going to become awesome. Amar Rav Nachman Rav Huna menalach. So Rav Nachman asked Rav Huna, where are you getting this from? Are you getting it from the implication of that Mishnah that we just quoted from Taras that says that Nitzik and so forth are not considered connected as far as Tumah V'Tara, and you're going to infer from that, so you're going to infer from that it's not considered connected as far as Tumah V'Tara, but it is considered connected as far as Yain Nesach. But Ema Sefer, but look at the next part of the Mishnah, that we said Hashbar and Chibur L'Tumah L'Tara. On the other hand, the next part of the Mishnah said that when you have water collected in one area, such as in these cracks in the ground, then it is connected as far as Tumah V'Tara. So what are you going to say then? So what are you going to say? It's only connected as far as Tumah V'Tara, but it's not connected as far as Yain Nesach. For sure, if you had an Ashboden, if you had a pits in the ground, or cracks or whatever in the ground where you had wine in some of the cracks where they're running into each other and a goy touched one, obviously the whole thing would be connected. So you can't say that the Mishnah is saying Tumah V'Tara as opposed to Yain Nesach. So we can't really prove anything one way or the other from this Mishnah. It uses the expression Tumah L'Tara, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it only means that these things are valid as far as Tumah V'Tara. Maybe one of them yes, maybe one of them not, but we can't really tell. So you don't have a proof from that one way or the other that it is considered a connection as far as Yain Nesach. So let's look at our Mishnah. Now we learn in our Mishnah. Let's try for another proof. We learned in the Mishnah, not all the mashbich, a person takes a funnel, and he pours wine using that funnel into a goy's pitcher. Later on, he takes the same funnel without cleaning it first, and uses it to measure out wine into a Jew's container. So we said, if there is a spot on the lip, or someplace in the mashbich, in the funnel, where wine will collect there, then we said it's also, because then what happens is that wine that's there becomes yain nesach, and now later on, when you pour the wine for the next customer, for the Jewish customer, then that wine touches that little bit of wine there, and also becomes yain nesach, it becomes mixed together. So the question is, fine, but how did that little bit in the akeves, in that lip, how did that little bit get also in the first place? When you were pouring from your kosher of wine into the goy's keli through the funnel, how did that part become also? How did that part become also? How did that little bit of wine become also in the first place? La v'nitzik. Must it not be that it became also through nitzik? Because you're pouring wine So you're pouring wine through the funnel. It passes through the funnel, goes to the goes container. The goes container already has already had wine in it previously. Maybe it's at this point tefeach, but not alanaf latiach. But we're saying Rav Huna is arguing that that's enough to make it considered that you have a connection there. That's going through the funnel will be also even before it hits the bottom of the goes container. So that would be what makes the wine in the funnel also, and therefore if you have some wine that sticks around in the funnel for a little bit, it's a keves yayin, then it will be also shmamina nitzichibur. So it's shmamina nitzichibur. So evidently that seems to prove that that a column of liquid is considered an actual chibur, because that's how we're saying. How else would the wine and the keves yayin become also in the first place? The answer is not necessarily, because Tony Rabchia Shapchasatu Tlachita, because Rabchia taught in a braisa that the case of our Mishnah involving the funnel is not Stam where there's a little spot over there, or a little dent or whatever in the funnel where wine collects, but rather the case is you're pouring through the funnel and the wine overflows and ends up touching the bottom of the funnel. So in other words, the bottom container is so full relative to the funnel that some of the wine in the bottom container, which again is the yayin netzach at that point because it's mixed in with the goy's wine that was in that container before, some of that wine now backs up and touches the wine that's in the funnel. So now you're not just talking about nitzik anymore. Now you're not talking about a column of liquid that's being poured. Now you're talking about that there's actual wine from the bottom container that gets into the funnel and now it's considered definitely connected with the wine that's pouring through the funnel. It's all in the same container. It's all in the funnel. So that's the case, not necessarily because of nitzik, but because it actually backed up and overflowed into the funnel. Okay, so the question is, so what are you going to say if that didn't happen, if the bottom container wasn't full enough to overflow to back up into the funnel? Loi, are you going to say that mai? So what would you say the din is? Loi, are you going to say that not, that the wine is not going to be osur, even because of the akeves yayin? Well, then tifshit and nitzik any chibur. Well, based on that, you should be able to answer the question. In that case, nitzik evidently is not a connection. The only thing that makes it osur is when it actually backed up into the funnel. If it weren't for that, just the fact that there was nitzik over there, just the fact that there's wine being poured from point A to point B and passing through this akeves yayin, this place, this dent or whatever in the funnel where the wine collects, evidently that's not enough, so therefore that would answer the question. Nitzik is not chibur. The answer is loy. Not necessarily do you have to understand it that way either. You could say you're not sure. What Rav Chia rather is saying is if it backed up and actually the bottom container was so full that it overflowed into the funnel, then there's no question. That's also nitzik tiboy. However, when you just have, without the case of it backing up into there, when you just have a case of pouring it and it flows down and goes through the funnel and some of it lands in the sakeres yayin and then later on dribbles down, that is not necessarily are we saying it is or it isn't tiboy. That's where you'd have a question whether that would be considered a chibur or not. So we don't have any proof yet one way or the other from our Mishnah about the Akedas Yayin, because based on what Rukhiya is saying, the case of the Akedas Yayin would be specifically when the bottom container was so full that some of it backed up into the funnel. You don't know maybe what would be based on that, what would be the din if it didn't do that, whether it would be also or not. Toshma, come, we'll try to prove from another case. We said in our Mishnah, Hama'ara Mekhlilakli, if you're pouring from one container to another, we're talking about that a goy is pouring from one container into another. Well, no, so for purposes of the question, we're going to assume that we're talking about a Jew pouring from one keli to another. We say eschema adam men or mutter. The keli that you're pouring from the upper container remains mutter, implying the implication is hoda beni beni also. So the implication is, but what's in between? What's flowing between the upper container and the lower container? The actual column of liquid that's flowing. Also, apparently, the implication is that would already be also. In that case, then wouldn't we be able to prove from that that nitzuk is considered a connection? Because what would make that column of liquid osur? Again, the fact that you're pouring into a goy's container, which contains yayin netzach, and therefore the whole column of liquid that's pouring down from the upper barrel is going to be touching that, and therefore that's what we're saying is going to be osur. So there you go, nitzuk is chibur. The question, the answer the Gemara says is no, you can't understand it that way. E nitzik chibur, after all, if nitzik is enough to make a connection, after the gavi de mononami nitzik, by that logic, then whatever is still within the upper container should also become also, it's all connected by nitzik. You have one continuous stream of liquid going from the inside of the upper container through this nitzik column down into the bottom one. If we're saying that what's in the column becomes osur, meaning in other words that even if you were to catch some of it in a cup or whatever, it would be osur at that point. Then by that logic, if you're going to say it's osur because of nitzik, then what's in the upper container, which is connected to that also, will also have to be osur. And we see that not. So obviously, it can't be a matter of nitzik. Yeah, the Gemara says, holy kasha, that's not such a big question, because the mikta ketubi. Because you could answer that the case we're talking about is, in the Mishnah, that we're talking about that what you did is you poured with a jerky motion, kind of. You did it in such a way that you poured it in such a way that the liquid that's falling through the air into the bottom container is not actually attached, is not actually connected to the liquid in your container. You did it like with a jerky motion like that, so that it's not actually connected. So then fine, it's connected to what's on the bottom. So therefore, you have, again, what's the column is connected to what's on the bottom. Therefore, again, if you were to draw up some of it with a cup or whatever, then it would be already osur because it's already connected to the liquid in the bottom container, which is becoming yayin netzach. But you would have it not physically connected to the top one because you poured it in that way. You did it in a jerky motion like that, so in such a way that it's not a continuous stream from the top container. So you could argue nitzuk is chibur, but nevertheless, in this case, there is no actual chibur between the column and the top container. So in that case, nevertheless, we would say that nitzuk is a connection. That is why what's in the air flowing downward is a chibur during that fraction of a second before it lands in the bottom keli. Meanwhile, it's not physically attached to the top keli, so therefore the top keli doesn't become osur. Okay, the Gemara says, but according to your own Zvara, if you're going to understand it that way, but look at the next part of the Mishnah. We said, if you're going to argue that way, what about, though, the Mishnah continued, the keli that you're pouring into, the contents of it are osur. Beni Beni Shari. If you're going to go like that, then you would have to say the implication of the Mishnah is, but what's in the middle, what's in the air between them, is not osur. Only what actually landed in the bottom container would be osur. And in that case, so if you're going to say that nitzuk is chibur, it would have to be osur, yet the Mishnah seems to be implying, but one clause of the Mishnah seems to be implying that the top container is mutter, but everything below that, including the column, is osur. The second clause implies that only the bottom container is osur, but everything above that, including the column, is mutter. So what is it? Is nitzuk chibur or not? Again, elamahalak elamishma, we can't really prove anything one way or the other from the Mishnah. One or the other of the clauses of the Mishnah is just meant for parallelism with the other one, and it's not exact, and we don't know which one is which. Okay. So no proof yet whether nitzik is chibur. Toshma, come, we'll bring another proof. Hama'ar v'chobis labur, a person is pouring from a barrel into a pit of wine. Kiluach hayor mespach chobis lamata osur. So the outflow that's pouring from the edge of the barrel and downward is osur. So there you clearly see that nitzuk. There you clearly see that nitzuk is chibur, because otherwise, why? Otherwise, again, what would make that column of liquid osur? If you say that nitzuk is chibur, then that makes sense. Now we understand. As soon as it leaves the barrel, then it becomes osur. What's in the barrel shouldn't become osur. Here we're not talking about mikdif ketufi. Here we're not talking about a jerky motion. Here we're talking about a smooth motion. So we're going to deal with in a minute with why in that case the contents of the barrel don't become osur. But if you say that nitzik is not chibur, then what's flowing through the air down into the pit shouldn't be osur either. Only what actually hits the pit, which contains yayin netzach. So doesn't that prove that nitzik is chibur? The answer is no. Tilgamot of Sheshis, because your Sheshis explained that that case is not talking about where a Jew is pouring and he's pouring into a bowl that contains Yain Netzach, but rather over to Chav Mama'ara. You're talking about and it's a Goy that's pouring. Therefore, the problem with what comes out of the barrel, what's flowing out of the barrel, is not a question of nisuk. It could even be that he's pouring into something that otherwise has kosher wine. But the problem is the osi mikoche. The problem is the wine is flowing out because of the goy koyach. And as we learned in the previous perek, when wine is moved from point A to point B, from one keli to another or whatever, through a goy koyach, then it's also osi. Okay, so the question is, you over to Chav Mama'ara, fine, if you're going to understand. So nothing to do with nisuk, in other words. So the question is, you over to Chav Mama'ara, fine. If the problem is that a goy is pouring after the gavad of the nine bitzer, then why isn't the contents of the barrel also become osur? That's also being sloshed around inside the barrel because of the goy's koyach. And we learned in the previous perek that sloshing around shishuch is enough to after it. The answer is koyach to over to Chav Midrabbanan who to also. This whole concept that wine should be also because it moved based on the koyach of the goy, where he didn't touch it directly, is only Midrabbanan. Mele, if he touched it directly, then you have the concern maybe he did nisuch on it by touching it, by swirling it around, shichshuch or whatever. Here, where he's touching the outside of the container, that it should be also in that case is something only Dirabbanan. There's no reason even to be concerned that there might be Nisuch over here. It's purely Dirabbanan, unlike the regular case where he touches it, where there's a degree of Daraita in there because he might have conceivably done Nisuch. Over here, it's purely Dirabbanan. Hahu denafik lebroi gozru beirabbanan, therefore only the wine that actually flows out of the container, so it actually left the container that it was in, only that of the rabbanan making a zera on, and saying that we're going to after it because he was pouring it. Hahidu le gavoi le gozru beirabbanan, but what remains inside the container, the rabbanan are not going to go so far as to be gozer on that, to make it also awesome. So therefore, on the face of it, what we're saying is that this still requires that nisik is not chibur. If nisik was a chibur, then it would have to be also anyway. So Rashi makes a point over here of saying that halacha is like Reb Sheshis, and therefore, if a goy pours from one container into another, then what's in the upper container will remain mutter. Now, actually, no. So that has nothing to do with nisik per se, because again, here we're talking about that. The bottom container also is, what the goy is pulling out becomes Yain Netzach, fine, but what's in the upper container, we're saying over here that Rabbanan are not going to make a Zera on. So on the face of it, still, yeah, that does sort of depend on the matter of Nitzuk. It still does depend on saying that Nitzuk is not a Chibur. So actually, I mean, we're not really finished the Sugya yet, but you have a machloekus Rishonim. You have a machloekus, among others, between Rashi and Tosfos and different other Rishonim line up on different sides of it, whether are we saying over here, what's going to be the maskana? Is Nisuk, in fact, a chibur, or is it not? So you have one opinion, which is Rashi's. Rashi and a number of other Rishonim that the halacha is after all like what Rav Huna said at the beginning of the sugya, nitzuk is a chibur, because we're going to see in a minute also that we see that Rav Chista is going to paskin like him, and therefore that means ma'aser rav. So therefore we see an actual case history where it was paskin like that. Therefore nitzuk is chibur, and therefore you would have to have that if you're pouring into a goy's container, you would have to make sure, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, that you make sure to avoid nitzuk. Rabbi Natam learns that not. Rabbi Natam learns that Rav Chista is just saying that just to be maybe on the safe side, but maybe it's just to be on the safe side. But Rav Sheshis is the next generation, and Rav Sheshis is saying that if a goy is pouring, only when a goy is pouring do you have a problem, because you have the problem of koychoy. Apparently there's no problem of nitzuk. Well, Rav Sheshis says Rav Enatam, is later than Rav Huna and Rav Chista, so therefore if he says nitzuk is not a problem, then nitzuk is not a problem. Also, Tosfos points out we have later things in the sugya that imply that not. In Shulchan Aruch, it brings both opinions that really you should in general be machmir according to the opinion that nisuk is a chibur. Therefore, again, if you're pouring from a container of kosher wine into a goy's container, you will have a problem. However, in Shulchan Aruch, it says if it's a matter of hefsed merubah, if you have a big financial loss involved, then you can be made for like a better time and say that nisuk is not chibur. Okay. So now in this connection, Rav Chista says these people who have the job of pouring when they pour wine, they serve wine to goyim, like at a restaurant or whatever. He tells them when you're pouring wine, you're measuring out wine for goyim. Either do, like we said before, jerky motion to make sure that there's no actual nisuk, so there's no actual column of liquid connecting your container with theirs, because otherwise you're going to have a problem. Inami nafsi nefutsi, or another way you can do it, is stand at a distance away and sort of throw the wine into his keli. Again, the idea is to avoid nisuk. Either way that you do it, whether you're doing it with your container directly over his and doing like a jerky motion so that there's no connection between the top and the bottom container, or whether you're standing at a distance and throwing it, either way, the point is you're breaking that connection, therefore there won't be a problem with it. Again, Rashi would say that is the actual halacha, you have to do it that way. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you would say Rav Chista holds that way, but the halacha is not like that. Okay. Another din in this connection, Amalahu Rava, Lahanu Shukhoi, similarly, Rava tells these people whose job it is to pour wine from one keli to another, and here we're not talking about where they're necessarily pouring into a goy's container, for example, where the goy is buying wine from them. Here we're talking about they're pouring wine maybe from one container to another where everything belongs to a Jew. They're pouring it, let's say, to keep it from spoiling or because it needs to be in a larger container or whatever it is, but he tells them, when you are pouring wine like this from the one container into another, you should not allow the goy to come over and help you with it, like to help hold up the container. Because you might forget yourself, you might mistakenly leave the whole keli that you're pouring from in the hands of the goy, so now he's going to be the one doing the main pouring. And you're only going to be, at best, you're going to be misayeya. At best, at that point, you're going to be like helping out in an insubstantial way, instead of where it should be the other way around, that you're doing the main work. So don't allow the goy to come close, because you may end up allowing him to end up doing, at some point, the whole work. And therefore, now you're going to have wine flowing out of the container because of his koyach, but also, and now it's going to be awesome. So okay, granted, we said before, Rav Sheshes is saying that what's in the top container that Abanan aren't going to go so far as to be machmir on, and then to say is also. But nevertheless, you're still going to have that what's in the bottom container is going to be, and what's flowing between them is going to be also because that came from the koyach of the goy. So therefore, Rava says to these Jewish workers, make sure that the goy doesn't help you with that kind of thing. So the main idea is you can't have that. So Tosfos points out over here by the same logic, you should not have a goy helping out unless you have another Jew who's helping a lot more. Tosfos brings another example over there. Let's say, for example, where wine is already flowing from one container into another, but the goy lifts it up a little bit so that it'll flow faster. So at first, the Bali Tosfos didn't want to decide on it one way or the other. However, Tosfos says, okay, listen, at least that's different. There it was flowing anyway. The goy helped, but now it's flowing faster. That's different. That's just Meseyeya in Veimamash. That's just an insubstantial kind of helping. Here we're talking about where if you leave it in the hands of the goy, where if you stop, then the wine would actually stop flowing. That's the problem. And Tosfos finishes off by the same logic. You have a goy pouring and a young Jewish boy is helping, then you have a problem. The Jewish boy is not really helping anything, really. His helping is not really accomplishing anything. Therefore, you would have a problem. So you can't do that. You have to make sure that the Jew is doing the main work. Getting back to the Gemara, another case involving Mitzuk. Hahu gavra da asit chamra begishto vasgishta. There was a certain person who was raising wine. It was removing wine from a container using a gishto vasgishta, which Rashi explains is a siphon. So the same way as, for example, you have, you can have, for example, if you ever have to siphon gas from one vehicle to another, so you know how it works. You set up a couple of tubes over there. You set up a couple of tubes where the middle of it sort of points upward. And then the bottom of it is at a lower level than where you started out from. You start by sucking it a little bit to start the flow. Then it continues flowing on its own and continues until everything gets siphoned out. So here, somebody had set up a gishta like that, a siphon like that, to siphon out the wine from a barrel, from a container. Also, a goy came along and put his hand or his finger or whatever on the gishta, on the end of the siphon from where the wine was pouring out. So the question is, what becomes oser? The rova decided all the wine in that barrel now becomes oser as a result of that. Or others say, a different version, others say that it's a Rav Amasna asked Rava, V'amrila Ravina L'Rava, or a third possibility is Ravina asked Rava. Anyway, they asked Mai, how are you making that wine also? B'nitzuk. Apparently it's a problem of Nitzuk. Apparently it's a problem that you're having a column of wine, a flow of wine going from the container into something else, and now you have a goy touch the end of the flow, therefore you're saying the whole thing is also. Shamet minon Nitzuk chibur. Are you trying to say based on that Nitzuk is after all a connection, which we left that question open in the Gemara before. We didn't come to a conclusion. Again, Rashi had learned based on the story over there involving Rav Chista that it is. But Tosfos, the Rabbeinu Tam, learns that not on the basis of what Rav Shesha says. So, you Rava coming down on one side of that, you're apparently saying that Nitzuk is Chibur. Because otherwise, why would it be Osir? At most, you should say that the wine that he touched on the end of the siphon should be Osir, not the whole thing. The answer is no. Shiny Hossam, no. Rava answers, it's different in that case. Dekule Chamra Agishto Bat Gishto Gorer. Because the difference is, all of the wine is naturally going to be flowing through that siphon, because it's going through the siphon on its own. So therefore, it's literally the siphon is considered like an extension of the barrel. It's different when you're talking about nitzis, when you're talking about a question of a Jew is pouring from a barrel into another container, and you're dealing with the question are we saying that the wine in the bottom container, which is Yain Nesach, is now going to be considered connected to the top container through that column of liquid? Maybe not. But over here, the column of liquid itself is considered part of the upper barrel, because otherwise, if it weren't for the goy stopping the siphon, it would continue flowing. And therefore, that's the halacha, and that's the halacha, therefore. As the Shach points out, okay, if the siphon doesn't go all the way to the bottom of the barrel, if it goes only to some other point in the middle of the barrel, then only from the middle and upward will be also. What's below it would be mutter, because that wasn't going to flow out through this gishta, through the siphon. All the Mazutra Brezer of Nachman, here's another din in this connection. Mazutra Brezer of Nachman says, Knishkinin Shori. You are allowed to drink from a Knishkinin. The Rashi describes that a knishkinin is a wide keli that has a number of straw-like things sticking out the side of it that are the same height as the actual container itself. Now, when you pour liquid into the main container, then it also gets poured. It also, the liquid seeks its own level, so therefore it ends up rising in those straws on the side to the same level. So now what you have is a few people can sit around this container and drink through the straws all at the same time. So now you're allowed, a Jew and a goy are allowed to drink together from different straws from this knishkin container. Because what happens, the Jew is busy sucking on the, as each of them is sucking on their straw and sucking out the wine from it. So the wine doesn't go back down. The wine stays up in the straw. Therefore, you don't have a problem of it touching, and it's not a problem of, and it's not a problem of, so one way of looking at it, so some of the Rishonim say, here you have a case of nitzuk, apparently, here you have a case of a column of liquid, and yet we see it's mutter, so there you go then. So some of the Rishonim say, there's another proof, apparently, that nitzuk is not chibur, after all, like we were saying before, according to Tosfos. That's actually one of the proofs that Tosfos themselves bring. Other Rishonim talk about not necessarily, because, for example, Ritzvah says the difference is Nisuk is it's flowing with gravity, so therefore you could argue it's more of a chibur. Here it's being sucked up into the swirls against gravity, so therefore you can't argue it's the same kind of thing. It's something that they're causing it to happen through their sucking, so therefore it's not necessarily the same thing. Anyway. So, according to that way of looking at it, according to the Rishpa's way of looking at it, you could argue maybe usually Nitzik would be a chibur, but here it's not considered Nitzik because it's not a regular kind of thing where it's flowing with gravity. Anyway, so you're allowed to drink in a Knishkin, says Mazutra Breder of Nath. Bahani Mili, however, that would only work to cut in Pasach Yisrael if the Jew stops drinking, stops sucking from his straw before the guy stops sucking from his. Because eventually you stop sucking, then whatever was in the straw, whatever you lifted up into the straw using your sucking, using the suction that you created with your mouth, is going to flow back downward if the guy does that first. Avakadam, Pasach, Avakadam, if the guy does that first, loy, then you have a problem. Because now the wine that he sucked up into his straw, and therefore he made move with his koyach, is going back down into the barrel. Therefore now what's in the barrel is going to become osir as a result of that. You, the Jew, are going to continue drinking from your straw, and you have a problem. So therefore you, the Jew, have to stop drinking first. And therefore, that's what it is, therefore. So you are allowed to drink with Knishkinin, however, in Shulchan Aruch it says, because of this consideration, that you have to make sure that you stop first, that you stop first, therefore, Baal Nefesh shouldn't do it. Somebody who's careful in mitzvah shouldn't be doing such a thing. There is a different explanation. Tosfos learns over here that the whole issue of Knishkinin over here is not necessarily a question of, I mean, here, we're mentioning it in connection with a Jew or a Goy, but the real issue, what Mazutra Breder of Nachman mentioning that you're allowed to drink from a Knishkinin is not necessarily in and of itself related to the question of Yayin Nesach, but rather is related to a different issue. The Gemara mentions at Shabbos, the possibility that nowadays you should not be allowed to drink from a Knishkinin in general, even if it's two Jews drinking together, because drinking from a Knishkinin is something that you do, it's like a celebratory kind of thing. You do it as if you do it in celebration of something. It's not the regular way of drinking wine, and it's a type of exceptional simcha. And the Gemara mentions in Shabbos the possibility that maybe you shouldn't be doing it after the Beit Mikdash is destroyed. So therefore, so according to that explanation, Mazutra Breder of Nachman is saying, don't think that way. You are allowed to drink from a Knishkinin. So never mind the question of a Jew with a Goy. Incidentally, he mentioned that if the Goy stops first, then you have a problem. But the main issue is you are allowed to drink from a Knishkinin, even if you're drinking with another, and if you're drinking with another Yid, obviously it doesn't matter then in that case which one stops drinking first, and you're allowed to do that. So that's how Tosfos learns the issue. Anyway. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Bar Avuna ikra lebei Reish Kalusa. Rabbi Bar Avuna one time visited the household of the Reish Kalusa, shot a little mishnah with Knishkinin, and he allowed them to drink with Knishkinin. So again, either it means he allowed them to drink together with a goy, provided that they stopped drinking first, as he said, or like Tosfos says, it means he allowed them to drink just Jews together with Jews and not be concerned about the problem that it's an inappropriate type of simcha when the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. Ikadamri, another version of it is Rabbi Bar Avuna Gufe Ishtiv Knishkinin. Another version is that Rabbi Bar Avuna himself one time drank from Knishkinin. So we see that it would be Mutter. So again, that's what brings Tosfos to say, it can't mean that he was drinking together with a Goy. What if the Goy stopped drinking first and then you have a real problem? That's what brings Tosfos to say, that what it means is he drank from a Knishkinin together with another Yid and didn't worry about the issue that you're not allowed to after the Churban because you are allowed to. Mishnah says, Yayin Nesach Osir V'Osir V'Chol Shehu. Yayin Nesach is Osir, as we've been saying all this time. And Osir is even with any amount. If any amount of Yayin Nesach is mixed with even a larger amount of kosher wine, then it will make the whole thing Osir. Yayin V'Yayin U'Mayin V'Mayin V'Chol Shehu. In general, if you have wine that's Osir mixed with other wine that's Osir, or water that is Osir mixed with other water that is Osir, what would be an example of water that's Osir? Rashi says, let's say the water was poured as a libation for Avodah Zarah. So some such water got mixed in to water of got mixed into regular water. But then also b'chol shehu, then also it after even if it's a tiny amount. Tosfos brings that this that we're saying that yayin is osa b'chol shehu is we're talking real yayin nefesh, where it was actually poured in honor of a desire. Not if it's stam yenam, not if it's the kind of thing where we just get this wine that belongs to goyim, and we don't know whether it was used for nisach or not. That could be batal b'shishim, says Tosfos. And the same thing if a goy touched it. And Tosfos says obviously the same thing would be as far as water that water would also be that it, as Rashi says, that it was poured out in honor of it as other. What about yayin b'mayim b'yayin? What about if water got mixed up with? What about if wine got mixed into water? Wine that was also such as yayin nesef got mixed in with water that's mutter, or water that's also that was used as a libation for avodah zarah becomes mixed in with wine that was kosher. Then v'noisin tam. Then it becomes also only if it's enough to give it a flavor. Only if you can detect the flavor of it in the mixture, which usually means 1/60. Zach, while the general rule is min b'mini b'mashu, when one thing gets mixed into the other and they're both of the same type, like water into water or wine into wine, then it asks it even b'mashu v'shaloi b'minoi. But if it's not of the same thing, if one is wine and the other one is water, then b'noi tam, then it depends only if it's enough to give it a flavor. So the Gemara starts off. He asked Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yechanan. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported in the name of Rav Yechanan this that was saying that Yayin Nesach is Oysa B'chol Shehu. It depends. What came first? Hama'ara Yayin Nesach Mechavis Labar. He says, if you're pouring wine from a barrel into a pit of wine, and the barrel contained yayin nesach, afilu kola yon kula, even if you're continuing to pour all day, even if it's a very large barrel, rishon bottle, nevertheless, it'll be okay because every little bit that falls in first is going to be bottle. So you start pouring in the first bit. That bit becomes bottle in the wine that's already in the kosher wine that's already there in the bur. You pour in the next little bit, it also becomes bottle, and so forth. So therefore, it comes out that it would never become also. Now, Tosfos, yeah, because nobody was. So Tosfos discusses the issue. So what about? I mean, so by that logic, are you going to say that even you pour in enough that the amount of yayin nesach becomes more than 1/60th of a mixture, you're still going to say it's mutter? Tosfos says that not. So that you can't work it that way. That when we say over here kolayim kolay, it still ends up being less than 1/60th. Therefore, we can argue it remains bottle. But if you're going to if it becomes more than 1/60th, then no, it will not be bottle. Other Rishonim learn not like that. Other Rishonim learn not like that. They say that no, we take it at face value. Rishon bottle. Even if it ends up being more than 1/60th of a mixture, with some caveats that we'll see later on in the Gemara. Rav Dimi is talking about over here, you're pouring from a barrel. We'll see later that there's a different opinion that says from a barrel, not because it's too large an amount. So anyway, we're returning to over here. Rashi says, what about, we learn later on, and in the next Mishnah, we learn about a case of yayin nesach that falls into a pit and everything becomes osur. The case is, let's say you have a big barrel of yayin nesach falls in over there and breaks, so everything lands in there or whatever, so you don't have rishon bottle. But here, what you're talking about, where some of it pours in, and then more of it pours in, that we could say could be bottle, where it didn't come in all as one amount together. So we must have Tanan, well, let's look at our Mishnah and see if that fits with it. We say it, Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah, Yayin Nesach Osir V'Oise B'Choshu. We said in our Mishnah, Yayin Nesach is Osir, Bana, and after is whatever it's mixed into, B'Choshu, other wine that's mixed into B'Choshu, even if it's a tiny amount, from my lab, become Nachal Yisrael L'Goy Heter. Wouldn't that mean, presumably, even if the Isser fell into the Heter, which is Rav Dimi's case, we're saying even a tiny amount of Yayin Nesach falls into a pit full of kosher wine, it would make it also. So not like Rav Dimi is saying. The answer is like, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. It means the Karnoso Atero Lagoi Surah. The other way around, if you're talking about that you had the what was in the pit already was Yayin Nesach, and now kosher wine starts pouring into it. So now the other way around, Rishon bottle. Every bit of kosher wine that falls in there is going to become Yayin Nesach, is going to become bottle in it. So that would be the case where the Mishnah is saying that Yain Netzach also Va'oisa B'chol Shehu. He had a tiny amount of Yain Netzach in the bottom container, and you start pouring in kosher wine, so that every bit of kosher wine that falls in there is going to become batel, and then when you pour in the next bit, it's also going to become batel, and so on and so forth. Not necessarily would the Mishnah be talking about the other way around, where the Yain Netzach was there first, and then you poured kosher wine into it. Fine, the Mishnah says, Toshma, come, let's prove for the next part of the Mishnah. Yayin Mamai Menosim Tam, we said if wine falls, which is Osir, falls into, Lechoda, we mean wine, which is Osir, falls into water, which for Pashrus is Mutter, we say Menosim Tam, it becomes Osir if there's enough wine to give the water a flavor, meaning more than 1/60th. So again, my logic on Nuffel Chamadi Surah Maida Terra. Lechoda, isn't that the case that we're talking about? There was a container of water over there that was Mutter. Wine that's also Yain Netzach started falling into it, and we said once the wine becomes more than 1/60th, once it's nois and tam, then it'll be also. So again, now like Rav Gimi is saying, the answer is no. No, that's not what it means. The other way around, because nafal chamer of the hetero ma'ariy asura. The other way around, it could mean that the wine is mutter, the water is also, because as we said in the Mishnah, it was used for libation to Avodah Zarah. And therefore, so in that case, again, you start pouring in the wine, it becomes bottle in the water, you pour in more wine, it becomes still bottle to whatever is in there, and so forth. Again, not the case that Rabbi is saying, which is the other way around, where you're pouring something that's mutter into something that's mutter, that might well be mutter, like he says, because it's rishin bottle, because whatever you pour in first will become bottle. Okay, so the question is, and we did Reisha Mayadi Surah, fine, but in that case then, since the first part of the Mishnah, Mayim B'Mayim, we were talking about wine, we were talking about water that was Osir, and we said that water of Isser, and water of Heter, we said earlier in the Mishnah, Seifa Namib Mayadi Surah, then you would have to say that the Seifa, in these two cases, we said Yayin B'Mayim, or Mayim B'Yayin, if wine falls into water, or water falls into wine, then we say Benoit and Tam. Fine, by that logic, if you're going to argue that, if you're going to argue that one of those is talking about water, which is also Seifa Namib Mayadi Surah, then the last case of the Mishnah, Mayim B'Yayin, where the water fell into wine, would also have to be where the water was Osir and the wine was Mutter. V'katoni Seifa Mayim B'Yayin Benoit and Tam. And yet we're saying water, that which we assume is Osir, it falls into wine, which we assume is mutter, the nois and tam. Then we say, if it's nois and tam, if it gives a flavor, then it's also. So what do you mean? What are you telling me, Rav Gimi? Rishin bottle. Whatever falls in first is going to be bottle. It's not going to be bottle, apparently. Once it reaches the concentration of the nois and tam, where it's enough to give it a flavor, then it will be also. On the luck of Dimi, Sir of Dimi will answer, no, you're misunderstanding. It's not that both cases are talking about where the water is mutter. The similarity between the two cases, Mayim B'Yayim, is not the similarity what kind of water it is, but the similarity is was it the heter that fell into the Isser or the other way around? The whole Mishnah, all the cases in Mishnah are talking about where what was mutter fell into what was already Osir, and therefore we're saying whatever falls in first becomes Bottle, and therefore becomes Osir, and the next bit that falls in also becomes Osir, and so forth. The Reisha to Kanafo Chamer de Ater L'Mayadi Surah. So therefore the Reisha, meaning the case where we said Yayin B'Mayim, would be that wine which is Mutter, falls into water which is Osir, and we say every drop of wine that falls in there will become Bottle in the water that's Osir. Safer, and the last case would be the other way around. Would be the similarity, would be you having heter fall into Isser. But in this case, the water is what's mutter, the wine is what's also. Same idea. As the water that's mutter falls in, it becomes bottle. And therefore, that's it. So, but not the other way around. If Isser falls into heter, then you can say it becomes bottle, and you don't have to worry about it. So that wouldn't be the case. Says Rav Gimi, that would not be the case that the Mishnah is talking about. In that case, in fact, it would indeed be bottle. So again, according to Tosfos, it will be bottle only as long as it doesn't reach a concentration of 1/60. If once it does, Tosfos uses the expression mutter minus minivineir, then the new Isser that's falling in will meet up with the old Isser that fell in, which up until now was bottle, and like it'll so to speak wake up, and now the whole thing will become also. Again, other Rishonim disagree with that concept and say when Rav Gimi is saying Rishon bottle, it means that's it. It's bottle and we don't have to worry about it anymore and there's no chose of a new. So we're going to be done now. We're going to go dive in Myers now. And we'll continue tomorrow, Pes Hashem, with more of this discussion. Again, you have Rishonim, such as the Rambam, that agree in principle with Rav Dibi. However, not, as the Gemara is going to say next, that not necessarily does it apply to, not necessarily can we apply it to a barrel where a huge amount of liquid flows out of it at a time, but rather we might be talking about only it can work with a smaller container. Actually, let's learn those next couple of lines. He also Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef Amar Rav Yechanan. When Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained the name of Rav Yechanan. Amar Yain Nesa Mitzvot Zokot Mavur. He poured Yain Nesa from a small pitcher into a pit of wine. Afilo Kolayim Kolay. Even if it's going all day, Rishon Bottle. Then again, whatever came first is bottle. But he says, unlike Rav Dimi, the Davka Tzvot Zokot that only applies if it was a small container. Where you don't have a huge amount of liquid coming out of it at a time, then you can say that little amount that comes out at a time is bottle. But when you have a barrel where you have a huge amount coming out at a time, then we would not apply the tetzer. And that's, for example, the Rambam passed that way, and in Shulchan Aruch it actually brings both opinions, but the Rambam indeed passed that way, that yes, we do accept the principle of Rishon Bottle, however, only when it was a small amount coming in at a time, not when it was a huge amount, like what would flow out of a barrel.